maybe you're not uptight. Maybe you are just having a very appropriate response to this pressure cooker environment that we all live in. Welcome to today's podcast episode. Thank you so much for pressing play. So recently I had a text message come through and it went like this. I am the uptight one in my house and I can make the whole house tense. I am a Capricorn. Side note, I don't know much about Capricorns, but I take your word. I am a perfectionist. I'm busy. I am a mum. I never sit down because I'm always doing stuff. I work full time and I wear all of the hats and I have all of the tabs open. It's hard to not be uptight and stiff. It's hard to be soft and relaxed. Like I truly think I am and I can be when those things are removed. I was recently on a 3-week holiday visiting family and I truly felt not uptight, soft and relaxed because I wasn't on the grind. So I know I'm capable of it. If it wasn't for the situational pressures that working motherhood life brings. And then she went on to say, that was a long message, but I hope you understand what I am saying. Yes, I completely understand what you are saying. And I think every single woman listening right now is nodding along going, yes, we all know exactly what you are talking about. Whether you have one baby, you have four babies, whether you work inside the home, whether you have a full-time job, it really doesn't matter what the dynamic is. I think every single mother understands the root core of this message, of knowing that you are being uptight and knowing that it is part of the parcel often that comes with motherhood. And then sometimes feeling guilt and shame because shouldn't you be able to be soft and feminine and flowy and just let go and also be free and happy and light and make your child have the best fun, you know, most fun-filled childhood ever? There's so much pressure on us. And I wanted to record a podcast episode on this topic because I know everyone gets it. And I'm certainly not coming from a place of being like, hey, I have all of the answers on this, but I do want to come from a place of recognizing how hard it is to actually not be uptight and to have a conversation about it because it's not an easy thing, right? To say, hey, I'm actually the uptight one, me over here. As Taylor says, it's me, I'm the problem. And we all know it to be true. Just quickly, a word from today's sponsors. Unless, of course, you're one of our Venti members, in that case, there are no ads and your episode is about to keep playing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And so I want to talk about it because my response to this woman was short and sharp. And I just said, I bet that you are not naturally uptight and it's just about the fucked mental load that women are meant to manage. And I just shot that reply off quickly and she responded saying like, yes, and I know that. And I can see in her message that she recognizes that. And I think that's amazing. I think it's one thing to be vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm the uptight one and these are the reasons why, rather than getting stuck in that shame loop or guilt loop of beating yourself up about why you're feeling uptight. It was also, I guess, just for context, in response to an Instagram reel that I had posted, and it's a reel of Brendan roller skating, and he is being an absolute goose because that's what he does. And I said on the reel, like, he makes every situation so much more fun rather than making every situation more uptight. I know what it feels like to be tightly wound myself, and I also know what it feels like to be around someone who is ultra tightly wound and how it really can suck the fun out of every situation. And when I was single and, you know, really reflecting on what type of partner I was hoping to connect with and what I wanted more of in my life, because I think that's kind of a trick. I think, and I talk about this in the Blueprint program, which is that journaling prompt program I have that is available. But one of the tasks in the Blueprint is to describe your dream partner and the qualities that they would have. And that's not really actually about your dream partner. It's about helping you to gain insight into what you feel is lacking in your life, and then to allow you to point the finger inwards and take responsibility for some of those qualities you are craving, those experiences you are craving, and bring them to life for yourself. So I remember doing that, sitting down and thinking, right, I feel like my life is devoid of fun and spontaneity, and I'm not frivolous, I'm not light, I'm not laughing. And those are things that I would love to see in a partner and really enjoy with someone. It allowed me to go, right, Kylie, you have to be responsible for your own experience of that. And it did give me, I guess, that insight and that pause for thought, and then the ability to take action and try to bring some more of that into my own life and also into the lives of my children. I remember talking, and I'm sure that I've said it here on the podcast years ago, but my friends and I, we would talk about like the Armchair Expert podcast and Dax Shepherd in particular. And I would always say I had such a crush on Dax Shepherd. I'd refer to him as my boyfriend. I would say to my friends like, oh, my boyfriend said this on his podcast, of course, in a lighthearted way. But because for me, I felt as though he represented this silliness and this lightness and a sense of mischief. And those were qualities that I definitely didn't have in past relationships and I really wanted. And so that's just a bit of context as to why that direct message came through to me. Because in it, I say, in that reel, this guy's bringing a lot of lightness into our lives. And then this woman responded saying she recognizes she is the uptight one and she is bringing tension to the family. So let's start off with what the definition is of uptight. So uptight is being angry or anxious in a tense and overly controlled way. That's the technical definition. I think we all have our own instant like visuals that come into our mind when we think of someone who is uptight. I tend to think of someone with their shoulders up quite high and holding a lot of tension in the shoulder area or even in the jaw area. So I guess that means, you know, uptight is someone who is not having fun, someone who is like literally and figuratively tense and rigid and worried. And with the definition they're saying anger and anxiety is part of it, I think that's a very important component that we keep in mind. How does being uptight feel for an individual? You may feel irritable, annoyed, like you are quicker to anger. You know, like you're right on the edge and anything could tip you over at any given moment. You may feel like you're not doing enough, you're not being enough, you're not good enough. You might have big expectations on other people as well. And that is important to realize. It is likely a projection of how you are feeling about yourself. If you have these big, unrealistic expectations on yourself, you're likely to have big, unrealistic expectations of those who are closest to you. And that's not fun. You know, that isn't good for your relationship when you are holding people to a very high standard. I say relationship, but I also mean the relationship with your children, with your friends, with your co-workers. You know, that rigidity of expecting everyone to be at some sort of perfect level, that's because you're putting that on yourself as well. And you inherently know that you are not perfect. So then you're always feeling like you're falling short. And it's so much easier to look at other people and wait for them to fall short, wait for them to disappoint you, rather than actually address your own inner world of feeling perhaps like you are the one that is just keeping your head above water. So those are some ways that it might feel. Just keep those sort of, I guess, in mind, because it's one of those things, isn't it, that you might not even necessarily identify as someone who is uptight, but now that you're hearing me go a bit deeper into the topic, you might be like, oh my gosh, I am that. I am so irritable all of the time. You may also experience your heart beating quicker. Maybe you've got more of a sense of adrenaline and cortisol flooding through your system. Because when we are uptight, we are often on high alert. You know, so much of being uptight is about worry, and it is about fear and protection and control of the situation. And so when you feel as though you have to be in control of everything, that means that you feel like you are responsible for everything. And if you're responsible for everything, that means that you've got to be on high alert. You have to be ready at a moment's notice. You have to be able to sense anything that could slightly be off. And so because you are in that high alert state, you know, that's putting your nervous system into that stress response of flight or fight. So you're getting flooded. That's why your heart may be beating more quickly. You may be absolutely exhausted because you're in a stress response all of the time, because you feel like you're under attack all of the time. And our bodies really can't tell the difference between a real threat or something that we are perceiving to be a threat. So you might just notice that you're so exhausted, like by 3 p.m. every single day, you can barely keep your eyes open. You can barely have a conversation after 6 p.m. because all day you've been so tense and so rigid, and you're trying to keep it all together. You know, you're trying to hold on to that deck of cards and not drop a single one, because heaven forbid if you did, it would be a disaster. And when I say deck of cards, let's think of that deck of cards as your friendships, your life stresses, your life admin, all of the responsibility for your kids, like just everything that you consider to be one of your mental tabs in that deck of cards that you're trying to hold on to. And it's like trying to hold on to a deck of cards in a cyclone and feel bad if you accidentally drop one. It's very stressful. You may also have headaches. You may be grinding your teeth. Your shoulders may be really tense. Like I said before, when I think of uptight, I think of a lot of tension in the shoulder region, I guess because that's where I feel like I carry it. Maybe you are physically very rigid as well. You know, like you just feel stiff all of the time and you don't know how to relax. Maybe you have difficulty taking a deep breath and all of your breath feels very short and sharp and shallow in your chest. Maybe you're experiencing some digestive issues, heartburn, indigestion, bloating, stomach aches, all of those things. Whilst I'm so far from a doctor, we can at least acknowledge that when we are in a stressed out state, when we're not breathing well, I would then also say potentially you're not eating enough, or you're overeating, or you're just not mindful of what you need. Maybe like me, you eat very quickly. I have to actually really think about the speed at which I eat. And it sounds silly, but you know, my first job out of high school was a hairdresser. And you know, as a hairdresser, you are just wolfing down anything that you can in between clients. In, you know, in my case, it was in this teeny tiny cramped little like tea room where, you know, barely three staff members could fit, or you're standing around the corner in the salon just trying to get some food into you because you are just so rushed and under the pump. And then when I was a flight attendant, similar thing. I don't think it was as rushed, but you're just always quick. Like it's on to the next thing, on to the next thing. So if you're rushing through everything you are eating because you're not being mindful and aware, you then may experience some digestive issues, and it can be related to this sense of anxiety and irritability that comes from feeling so uptight. So, why are we uptight? I feel like I could write a book, or I could do a 24-hour podcast episode on this, like all of the reasons why we are so uptight. So I won't do a huge deep dive on every single topic, but I think that we can all agree the mental load is huge. The mental load on women, and I know I talk about this a lot in podcast episodes, but it's because it's so real and it needs to be spoken about a lot. And I think the more that we make the invisible visible, the more women who understand the expectation that they are experiencing, whether that is largely from society, whether it is largely from their childhood, whether it is to do with the pressure they're putting on themselves, the more women who understand it is unrealistic and impossible, I think the more self-compassion we can give ourselves, and we can reduce this experience of feeling like we are responsible for the sun and the moon and everything in between. So when I say the mental load, I think you all know exactly what I'm talking about, but on the off chance you don't, the mental load is the combination of all of the invisible and visible tasks that we do day in, day out. The mental load is to do with that running to-do list of things in your head that's often going as you're also doing other things. So you're washing the dishes, you're making school lunches, you are staying up late to do your work emails, whatever it is. There are a million different dynamics, but whilst you're doing one thing, you've also got that running list happening that is like, okay, does Johnny need to take his library book back to school? Where is that library book? Did that library book get damaged? I can't remember. Did we actually find it? Oh my gosh, I know that I need to also book them a dental appointment. And why have I left it this late? When I get to the dentist, I'm going to feel so much shame that I haven't taken them sooner. I wonder what it will be like when we finally get to the dentist. Ooh, I actually wonder how much out of pocket I will be when we get to the dentist. Shit, that reminds me, do I need to update our healthcare insurance? And so on and so forth. It's that, you know, monkeying from one thought to the next thought to the next thought to the next thought. It's the whose birthday is coming up? Do we have enough money to get a birthday gift? What is the birthday gift? Do we have wrapping paper? Like it's all of the stuff that may seem quite insignificant on its own or might seem really innocuous and innocent, but when you are carrying the load for yourself, your children, maybe your partner as well, maybe work as well, it gets very, very heavy. So the mental load, the physical load, we know that the stats tell us women do more of the domestic load. It's just facts. There's perfectionism. I've spoken about the perfect mother myth that we all live with. So perfectionism is this driver inside of us that tells us that we have to be good, you know, and not even just good, not just a C plus, not just a pass. We have to be excellent actually at every area of life, because if we're not, what does that say about us? And I think it's an interesting thought exercise to really think about. Like, why do we feel like we need to be perfect? And what does it say about us if we're not? And I think if we go a layer deeper, we go, well, maybe that means I'm not good enough. Maybe that not good enough experience means you don't feel accepted. Why do I feel the need to be accepted? Because as humans, feeling accepted and being connected means safety. And so if I don't have that acceptance and connectivity and self-worth, that could be a really uncomfortable experience. And so as humans, we are always striving to feel more comfortable. And in such an unfortunate and ironic way, that feeling to have internal comfort often makes us feel really uncomfortable because we're doing all of these things because we think that's what will give it to us. We think, oh, if I get everything right, if I do everything with ease, I'm going to have inner peace. And it is not the case. We definitely have it the wrong way around. And recognizing what we understand that threat to be, I think is very valuable because then we can talk through it. And given that anxiety is part of feeling uptight, acknowledging what our actual anxiety and worry is. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think there would be a lot of people who would identify as being uptight who would not necessarily describe themselves as having anxiety or being angry. But those are elements of being uptight. And I think we have a reason to be anxious. And I think we have not even just one reason. We have many reasons to feel anxiety. We have many reasons to feel anger as well. I think sometimes as we get older, and I'll just speak for myself, as I've gotten older, I've definitely had moments where I feel so much more anger at, I guess, the way that society grooms women and informs women on how to be that I had never really noticed or understood before. And sometimes being angry is actually so appropriate and a helpful way to feel when you can actually name it. So, I also think part of perfectionism is this belief that efficiency and being good at something is the most valuable thing. And so what I mean by that is, how many of us can relate to feeling as though we are micromanaging partners or micromanaging or like over helping our children? I've definitely had this experience where it's just easier for me to do it. I'll do it better. Like I will literally hang things up better than anyone else in this house. I will do it faster. I will make the school lunches more quickly and with more ease. And I think when we get into that habit of feeling responsible for everything because we are more efficient at it, it just becomes this vicious cycle because it's like, oh my gosh, it is literally just easier for me to do it because then I know it's done well or it's done right. And that's an interesting thing as well. What does it's done right even mean? Because we have to allow other people to do things to their own standard and see the benefit of that. Now, I want to be clear here. I am not talking about like accepting or, you know, being grateful for a very half-assed job on something because I think some men can really weaponize incompetence. So they will hang the washing up in a really shit way because they're weaponizing this incompetence like, oh, I can't do it. It's easier for you to do it. You know, you want it done a specific way. You're such a controlling bitch. You do it. And that's not cool. That is so not cool. But there are times when having things done differently or just allowing ourselves to go, hang on. What does done right mean? What does done right mean? And if we stick with the example of washing, done right would mean that it is hung up in a way that allows it to dry, right? And maybe in a way that allows it to dry efficiently so that there's less wrinkles in it or that it dries more quickly because if you hang it up all bunched up, it's going to take longer, those sorts of things. But if it's like done right is just you want matching pegs on things, that's where there's certainly room to go, hang on. Is that actually essential? No. Same with school lunches. Done right. What does that mean? And these might seem like very trivial examples, but you can certainly, you know, apply your own context to it. Maybe done right for you is like finding the perfect, most affordable insurance policy, booking the perfect holiday accommodation. But done right for some people will be like dressing the baby, getting the baby ready for bed or spending the afternoon with the kids. You know, will your partner do it right? And we have to allow room for variety and resilience, and to also just actually drop control where there is no disastrous result. You know, maybe it's not exactly the way that you would pack the school lunch, but is there still food in there? Is your child still going to eat? Great. Maybe that's the version of done right that you get to focus on instead of done right to your version of right. I think that that will make sense. I hope it will. So I guess it's like reassessing, does done right mean that it is done my way or no way at all? And what are the benefits of when something is done differently? Does it mean then that your child develops more resilience and tries different food? You know, those sorts of things. Does it give your partner a chance to connect with the child in a different way? You know, if no life is literally on the line, can you be a little more relaxed in letting someone else step in and do things? And we're better at stuff because we do it a million times. It's just the truth, you know? Like even recently when I was in hospital and Brendan was doing the morning routine with the boys, he hasn't done it a million times. I've been doing it for 10 years. It is like a natural extension for me because I do it so often. So for him, he wasn't as seamless as I am, but that's okay. If I was to go in and try and, you know, help him do a set of stairs, for example, or lay a floor or whatever it is, I'm not going to be as efficient at it because I haven't done it. I don't have the skill set. And so if we are trying to reduce our mental load and that desire to have control of everything, you have to let people in and you have to let people do things. And sometimes it's very annoying that you have to ask for people to do things, you know, or you have to write the list, or you have to show them how it's done, or you have to even have these conversations. And I truly hope in generations to come, the responsibility is not on women to have these conversations with male partners. I hope that, you know, it just becomes so much more normal for males growing up that contribution and responsibility is accepted and equal parenting is accepted. But for now, rather than being angry about the fact that we have to have these conversations, just have them, you know, because I think that, you know, and I'm laughing because I've felt this. I have felt anger about these sorts of things. And I have felt like, well, I don't want to have to point out all of the stuff I do. But if I don't point it out, then I'm just staying stubborn and nothing is going to improve. So delegating, letting other people in, having the conversation with your family is so important, and I'm going to touch on that soon.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I want you to consider, when it comes to anxiety, what is the actual worry? If anxiety is part of being uptight, what is the worry for you personally? Is it to do with that perfect mother myth? Do you feel like you're a bad person if you're not doing everything on your own? Do you feel like society will look at you differently? What's the actual fear? And where does that fear come from? Because if we just stay stuck in the fear and stress response without actually being curious and pulling the thread, things may not improve. So have a bit of a think, have a bit of a journey with your own version of anxiety and responsibility and safety and fear and control, and see what comes up for you. You may like to chat this through with a therapist. So, what can we do to literally be less uptight? So if we think of uptight, what's the opposite? We need to wind down. So having a wind down routine at the end of the day is probably the most obvious thing to say. And I'm going to tell you a wind down routine at the end of your day isn't actually going to help how uptight you feel through the day. So we have to wind down multiple times a day, because you don't want to be rigid and uptight all day. And then you get to the end of the day when everything is done, you've already spent all day rigid and stiff and cranky as fuck. And then you get to 10 o'clock at night and you make yourself a chamomile tea and you're like, oh, cool, this 10 minutes for myself is really going to reset me and tomorrow I'm going to be so rejuvenated. No, it's not going to happen. So we need to wind down frequently throughout the day and make winding down through the day habitual, in the same way that being uptight has become a habit too. I do think though, before or in conjunction with creating some wind down techniques for yourself, you have to understand what your anxiety and your worry is. I do think that that is really important and I can't stress it enough. Get curious about it, because that curiosity and the stuff that comes up for you, that intel, that is going to be invaluable and allow you to really access the behaviors and habits that are going to help you continue to unwind. So, it's not something that is actually wrong with us. We have to remember that as well. And I say that because you might be feeling like, oh, I'm the minority. I'm not doing it right. All these other mums on TikTok and Instagram, they've cracked the code. They're so peaceful. They play with their children so willingly. They have it all sorted. No, you feeling uptight is not a reflection of you being wrong or broken or not understanding how to do it. It is a reflection. It is a normal response for this pressure cooker that we live in, where we are meant to find the sweet spot of doing it all, and it is literally impossible. So I want you to understand that and to really lean into self-compassion. And trust me, I know that self-compassion is one of those words similar to mindfulness and meditation, and I hate to tell you, I'm going to bring those things up as well. They're words that we're like, fuck, I do not have time for this. I do not want this. You know, give me the easy tick and flick. Give me the pill I can take so that I don't feel wound up. But self-compassion is just the tool that may help you wind down as well. Because if you are uptight and then you become harder on yourself for being uptight and you feel frustrated that you're uptight and you're feeling annoyed now that you've got to be the one to do the work to be less uptight, that's only going to wind you up further. You know, think of the jack in the box. You wind it, you wind it, you wind it till eventually it's like, ah, you can't contain it anymore. And that's when it comes out in angry outbursts, emotional overreactions, because you don't have that resilience there. You're just teetering. You're just one crank of the jack away from losing your shit all of the time. And that's not a fun space to be in. And fun is an interesting word, isn't it? Because as we get older, we lose the fun. There aren't very many role models or many roadmaps of what fun actually is when you are a woman raising a family. You know, there's just not. And I've spoken about it so many times. But I think that as much as we need to explore the anxiety and the areas in which we can be less controlled in and the areas in which we can have less fear, we can also focus on more of the good stuff, more of the stuff that makes us feel relaxed, more of the stuff that makes us feel like we are actually winding down and winding back to our true selves. Much like that direct message I received, the lady saying that she knows her natural state is not being an uptight, controlling monster. Because when she is free of the responsibility, when she is just her normal, authentic, human, individual self, she doesn't feel uptight. She doesn't feel like she's bringing tension to the family unit. She's just bringing her beautiful self. And so I think whilst we do need to focus on the things that we can do less of, it's also about finding more of the stuff that makes us feel free. So that is a way that I think we can make mindfulness more accessible and less of a highbrow, unreachable concept. When is it during your day? And if not during your day, because I know there will be people who are like, literally, it doesn't happen on the daily. When is it during your life that you don't feel as rigid and you don't feel as stiff and you actually feel soft? And I don't just mean physically soft. I mean, you feel flexible. You feel less like you need to control everything. You feel less rigid. You feel more flowy in life. When is that for you? Can you notice it? What is the opposite of uptight for you? You know, for me, the opposite of uptight is trusting, feeling safe, feeling flexible, and feeling that sense of freedom. And I get that on holidays as well. And I think it's because you don't feel as responsible for everyone's stuff. Like, you literally are free of that burden. So what is the opposite of uptight for you, and how can you access more of that? I want to invite you to find the fun, find the pleasure. Are you enjoying sex at the moment? Are you enjoying your food at the moment? Are you enjoying self-pleasure at the moment? What is it that makes you feel less uptight, and how can you get more of that into your day? And I'm telling you, probably the only way you're going to get more of that into your day is to let go of some other things. So can you prioritize things in a hierarchy? Can you give yourself the permission? Because I hate to tell you, no one else is going to do it for you. Give yourself the permission to not be perfect in every area of life. You know, and I have gone through this myself. I spoke about this in a subs episode, about like the pressure that I have put on myself to like give people things and bring things to people. And a lot of that is just my internalized lack of self-worth at times. And so pressure on myself, like rather than being like, oh, I've got to make handmade, gluten-free, sugar-free, everything-free cupcakes for the kids' school, I'm going to go and buy a 24-pack of shitty cupcakes from Coles, because it's not super high on my priority list when I really think about it. And it is something that adds to that mental load and adds to that perfect mother myth that we all carry around inside of us. Where are the areas that you can drop some of the balls, let go of some of those figurative cards in that deck that you're holding onto so tightly that's not going to cause you harm? Like stuff that really isn't big, like it's not a big deal in the big scheme of things. You have to have a conversation with your people, with your family. You have to plan things with your family. You have to talk about this stuff. Sitting down with your significant other and saying, hey, I notice it. I feel myself being so uptight and I don't want to fucking live like that. Like, I don't want that for me and I don't want that for you and I don't want that for the kids. And these are the contributing factors. Literally send them this podcast episode if you have to. Explain to them, this is not your version of living your best life, even though you recognize in this season of your life, this chaos of raising a family, of trying to find the sweet spot of doing it all and, you know, everything like that. You don't want to be the uptight person, and you do want their help. You want their help. You want to be seen. You want them to understand your experience of being a woman in the world to the best of their ability. Talk to your kids about it. Hey, you know, if your kids are a bit older now, and I know so many of you have kids of a similar age bracket to my boys, and maybe you are like I have been doing, you are over helping them at times because it is easier. And so have a conversation about it. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're like, okay, I've had this personality transplant and I'm never going to help you guys find your shoes again. But having the conversation of, hey, when you ask me where your shoes are, or when you don't unpack your lunchbox, that responsibility falls on me, and that makes me feel not good because I've already got so much to do. And like, I'm kind of changing the way that I'm speaking as I go, because that's how I talk to my kids. And I've had this chat with them where, you know, it was about knots in their shoelaces. And, you know, one day I just said to them, when you don't untie your shoes when you take them off, and then we're late the next morning because I've got to sit there and unpick them, because like, you guys have this magical ability to create the most extreme knots known to mankind, and I am not the most patient known to person when it comes to this stuff. How I feel is like, you don't respect me getting you to school on time. You think that your time is more valuable than mine. And I know that that's not what's happening, but that is the impact. That is how I feel. And when I framed it like that to the boys, and I said to them, like, when you don't undo your knots, or you don't ask for help the night before and you see those knots, how I feel is like, my time is not as important as yours. And I don't want to feel like that. So what can we do as a family so that we all feel valued and we all feel cared for? And that's just one, like, perhaps even silly little example of it. But have the conversation with your family. And yes, it's annoying. It is annoying that you've got to point out all of the things that you do. But if you don't, nothing is going to change for you now and for the next generation. We want to normalize contribution, self-responsibility, sharing the load. It shouldn't be just on one person. And it doesn't mean that then everything is equally divided. Like, I remember when I was pregnant and one of my dad's friends said to me that something he learned about having kids, and he has three kids, was you can't always treat them equally, but you can treat them fairly. And fair doesn't mean an exact equal division of labor, but fair is taking responsibility for things that you can take responsibility for. Fair is validation. Fair is making sure everyone in the family unit feels safe and feels supported. And of course, you're not going to expect your six-year-old to take on 30% of the domestic labor. That's like, that's not what I'm saying. And I think you know that. And maybe even your partner, like, maybe they work a million hours a week and you're not now going to expect them to take on exactly 50% of what you do. But what can they take on, you know? And again, back to that, their version of doing it right might not be your version of doing it right. And c'est la vie. Let go of some of those control reins that are not super important to you, that it, you know, when it's not life or death, when it is more to do with that perfect person myth that may exist. So I feel like we've covered a lot in this episode. And like I said, I could talk about this for hours. When it comes to winding down multiple times a day, I want you to start thinking about, how is it that you can send physical signals to your body that you are trying to wind down? Because sometimes, rather than waiting for the thought, like the thought to feel relaxing, we have to actually relax our bodies so that then we can have the thought. You know, I've spoken about this so often. Often we tell ourselves, oh, when I have the thought, when I have the motivation, when I feel like doing something, then I'll do it. But it's so wrong. We have to actually just do the thing, because then when we do the thing, whatever it might be, that's when we'll start to feel more motivated to continue doing it. That's when we'll have the thought about how good it feels. That's when we'll recognize it's the right thing for us. So sometimes the action needs to go before the thought. So what are some actions that help you to wind down? What are some circuit breakers that can get you out of feeling so fucking uptight and so rigid? Maybe it is a cold shower. So basic, but literally some of the most basic stuff helps. Is it a meditation to relax, to unwind? A 5-minute meditation, a 5-minute breath, like breath work type of track? Is it listening to some music that changes your physiological state? It sounds so simple again, but playing music and singing along changes the way that you're breathing. And remember, when we're uptight, we are breathing in a way that is shallow, it is sharp, it is not deep. Getting outside in nature. Maybe it's a beautiful scent. Maybe it's, you know, again, some of this stuff sounds so like it's like such low hanging fruit, but we've got to start somewhere. Lighting a candle, literally rolling your shoulders back, taking a deep breath. Maybe it's changing the lighting, even like dimming the actual room so that you don't feel like you're, you know, being interrogated. What are some things that literally make you feel like you're winding down? The other day, Brendan started just pushing down on my shoulders, like he was standing behind me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like a new person. It was like literally 2 minutes of him just like pressing on my shoulders and rubbing my neck, like the nape of my hairline. And I was like, oh, like a little dog, like with my little back leg going. And I was like, yes, like that just released so much rigidity from my whole body. So there's some food for thought. I want to just leave you with this. Maybe you're not uptight. Maybe you are just having a very appropriate response to this pressure cooker environment that we all live in. We all have social media. We all have notifications. We all have a million things every single day making a bid for our attention. Stuff that we need to do. The to-do list never ends. It just gets longer and longer. And so how can we make space for ourselves to feel less uptight? Consider these things that I've gone over today. Consider the irritability, the annoyance. Consider having the conversation with your family. Send this episode to a friend. Send this episode to your partner. Let me know what you think. I would truly appreciate your feedback on this episode. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast episode. If you want more of the I Am podcast in your ears, make sure you become a podcast subscriber. It is really, really simple to do. All of the details are in the show notes. For the cost, actually less than the cost of a cup of coffee per month, you will receive access to exclusive podcast episodes. That's right, you'll get a bonus episode every single week that you will not hear anywhere else. And to be honest with you, I really am sharing a lot more over in those exclusive episodes. It feels like a really safe zone for me. So make sure you check out the subscription offers that we do have available for that exclusive content. And perhaps best of all of the episodes will be ad-free. So if you feel good about supporting a female-founded, female-led business, check out the subscription offerings available and become a podcast supporter today. Today's podcast episode was recorded on the land of the Bundjalung Nation. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.